Hello, everyone. You are listening to Kyle's Communist Podcast. My name is Kyle. And on today's episode, as we do in these parts, we are going through our July 10th newsletter. You can find this up at KyleCommunist.com. Right at the top, it's called What I'm Watching, because that's what we're going to go over today. This is the news, specifically Marxist news, that I'm paying attention to. It's going to incorporate some worldly events. Particular today, we're going to recap Prigozhin's big coup attempt in Russia. We're going to do that in sort of a short order. You'll notice that once that event happened, I got pretty silent on the podcast and the newsletter, specifically because I was talking to people on the ground there, guys that were in the army in Russia, guys that are unrelated but are Marxists, and so they're paying attention to what's going on in their own country. We were getting all that feedback, which literally meant operating on a different time schedule. They're really great groups out there that have done thorough analyses of the event. And you can find some of these probably linked up on the website. And if you have any questions, you're always welcome to join our Discord server and ask them there. Discord.gg/Kyle Communist. Great place to go. Highly recommend it. But anyway, all these news stories are nicely aggregated is I think the word I want to use. They're nicely aggregated for you up on KyleCommunist.com. So jump right in. Let's talk Prigozhin first, then we'll go talk a little bit about Donald Trump, who is, again, running in 2024 on the idea that banning Marxists from entering the United States is a great idea. And he suggests we already have laws to combat them here, but we need to reevaluate those laws. And then finally, what else? We could touch on, I don't know this story off the top of my head. Ooh, this is a good one, though. I want people to go and read this. A trans person reflects on Cuba and Florida, 90 miles in a world apart. That's a really good one. Go check that out. I'll save that one for you later. The one I actually want to touch on, and just in talking, I just now put this into the article for everyone, but we're going to cover one by the Red Phoenix, which is a Marxist-Leninist group. They just put out an article in favor of LGBT rights yesterday, or a few days ago. I think it was maybe closer to July 6th or something. Anyway, this article was really good. It had flaws. There are things that I would call out in it, but overall, I would say really good. It's one of the first articles in the Marxist-Leninist space that actually talks in favor of LGBT rights. That is something that is sorely, sorely lacking, and we'll cover that towards the end. But let's start off with the coup attempt in Russia. A few weeks ago, Prigozhin, who was the head of PMC Wagner, which is a private military company, that's what PMC stands for. I think it's Shevakaya in Russian. It's very interesting to see how Wagner works. They have been funded almost entirely by the United States by the Russian government, pardon me. But speaking to the collusion, there's a lot of ideas that Prigozhin has been influenced abroad. I personally am not, my horse is not hitched to that wagon. I don't think this had too much to do with U.S. interference. More so, I think we're looking at a case of capitalists clashing. Prigozhin's someone who started out in the catering industry after the USSR dissolved. He got his way into some very fancy rooms with heads of state, specifically Putin, to which apparently a relationship started to form over the years. One of Prigozhin sort of being willing to do the dirty work. He makes his way the head of this group, Wagner. Along the way, by the way, he wrote like children's stories and stuff. This man is sort of like a warped Renaissance man. Like he is bizarro Renaissance man. He's done all kinds of things by buying and weaseling his way into power positions. And Wagner's notorious for its torture, murder, et cetera, all being extrajudicial and around the world. That's the fun thing about these PMCs. Militia groups. The United States operates some too. I believe Blackwater is the name of the one we have here, which oddly enough is not a name on people's lips. But these private military companies are basically hired thugs of the state that go out there and commit violent acts without being directly linked to the government's military. So Wagner Group is separate than Russia's military of defense. And in fact, that's sort of the interesting news that's coming out is in this time since this coup attempt, we can go over the order of how that happened. But in the time since the coup attempt, Russia has been seizing the assets of Wagner around the world. And in fact, it seems Prigozhin at least quoted this dissolution of Wagner was one of the reasons why they even led the, quote, March of Justice, which was basically a column of, I want to say, 25,000 soldiers moving from the Ukrainian front to Moscow. There's now news that's coming out, like they got dangerously close to nuclear missile silos, bases. There's all kinds of accusations kind of coming out to damn Wagner. By the way, of course, I damn both Wagner and the Ministry of Defense. These are both organizations that enslave our young teenagers and send them into foreign wars. Wagner goes a step further in literally recruiting from prisons, basically saying, hey, I know you're a murderer here. You're never going to make it out of this prison alive. But if you come with me, you will make it out alive. I just can't promise you will come back alive. And that is sort of the pitch. I personally have a friend whose brother is even a Wagner soldier, which is distressing in its own way, but it is what it is. I guess that's an important part to say, is Wagner has a really strong appeal in Russia to a lot of nationalist types, or even the guys that are not questioning the government status quo. Those types look at Wagner and say, oh, wow, they actually pay. And that's something the group did notoriously well, was pay out the soldiers a lot better than the Russian army itself did. There were a lot of issues about people being compensated. I think a decent example of that is whenever you die as a Wagner soldier, your family gets quite a bit of money for your death, as opposed to you dying in the Russian army, in which case your family might be compensated literally a sack of potatoes, which was actually a real compensation thing that they were doing. I want to say this was closer to like the November 2022 window. Things are not good for the Ministry of Defense. Now, this comes from within in Russia. I don't need to rely on Western media to tell me how bad things are there. Following enough Russian comrades online and having enough of them as close acquaintances and friends that I've talked to for over a year, really interesting to hear their opinions. In fact, this coup was alerted to me by a Russian friend that sent me the text saying, hey, there are tanks in my city. He's in the outskirts of Moscow, so quite alarming for him. That situation played out over the next couple days. So again, here we are later. We're recapping. We're looking back. I think this is going to wind up being one of the most important events of our time, of our lifetimes. I think this is, and pardon me if I am overstating this and blowing this out of proportion, but I do believe this to be one of the most serious cracks that will eventually splinter and shatter the windshield. I do think this is, like, the Ukraine war is the bigger portion. Maybe that was, I should say, the first chip on the windshield. This is now, I guess this is the stage of like another rock actually hitting an already splintered windshield. Like, we're really, really down to the wire here at this stage. A guy so trusted by the Russian government marching his troops into Moscow. Now, they didn't make it the whole way, I should reference. Why did they turn around and march? Well, as it came out later, Wagner was going to be apparently absorbed into the Russian military by July 30th. What happened, though, that sparked the event was apparently, as Prigozhin says, the Russian military fired upon his troops. That did not come out of the blue. That was a long buildup from Prigozhin over the months and months, saying and yelling into videos saying, the Russian military won't give us ammunition. My men are, you know, being outflanked. We're being overwhelmed. We're fighting as valiantly as we can, but this is all the military's fault that we can't hold this. You're intentionally holding back shells and ammunition. And like, really, one of the appeals to Prigozhin, probably similar to Trump over in the United States, is Prigozhin doesn't mind swearing and just blasting people. And if you are a desperate young man or a delusional old man, I get it. That's sexy to you. Finally, all the years you've been forced to shut up because your opinions have been garbage. And now here's a guy, his opinions are garbage. I mean, clearly they don't know that their opinions were his or garbage, right? They think it's the blood of God or something. But anyway, here you got a guy that's spouting as crappy ideas as you, louder than you. And I think that turns a lot of men on. I think they're very sexually, subconsciously attracted to that. I think it's sort of the daddy figure they've always wanted. Like I said, there's great parallels to that in the United States. I think Putin and Trump are already parallels to that sort of thing, but you really get like a Prigozhin who's out there screaming profanities, and it's like, wow, that's how I want it to be. There is also, again, another parallel I'll throw in, that there is a modern fascination in Russia where a lot of the guys, maybe not a lot, I don't know what the real percentage is, but many guys who are not communist will look and say things like, we need another Stalin. I may have explained this before, but the reason they're saying that is it's been sort of explained to me. They're saying they want a tough guy who can come in, arrest all the bad people in the government, and just shoot them. Which, again, ties directly into this situation because people are making that love of Stalin claim or please come back, Stalin sort of comment in relation to the failed Ministry of Defense. So they're saying we need Stalin to come in and clear out the military, kill all the bad commanders who are getting our troops killed overseas, blah, 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 so on and so forth. You can see it's, again, it's just more straight strong men getting on their knees, sucking a demagogue, bullshit politician, capitalist that has everything at their disposal. Of course, they can be loud and proud on camera because as soon as the camera's turned off, they can all go back to their mansions. Prigozhin, I don't know how much of a real on the front line guy he was. It seems like much more than any Russian military commander. And I think that hence the call for the purges, I think comes into play that they want the military officials, the Russian military officials gone, Ministry of Defense, and they'd rather have people like a Prigozhin step in. And when I say they, I want to make it very clear, I'm talking to the very patriotic, very pro-nationalist folks that exist in Russia and venerate the state, just as we have them here in the United States that venerate the American government. These these two peoples are exactly the same. This came out of a conversation we had with one of our Russian friends in a Discord call just a couple days ago. Everyone can join in on those and hang out, but we were comparing our conservatives and how identical they are. They really are drinking the exact same drink with just a different flavor shot in it. Yours is strawberry, mine's banana. I'm drinking medium roast coffee, you're drinking dark roast coffee. We're both drinking coffee. And really, I just need to make that abundantly clear. That is the situation we're looking at. These groups of people, these old elder conservatives that exist, fall for all of the same BS. Unfortunately, there are many young in both of our countries that also fall for such BS. I guess in their case, they are raised steeped in it like a tea. They are just raised in that sort of trauma propaganda, believing that the state's actually going to protect them. And it's our job to slightly, you know, every day push to educate. And thanks to the strong internationalism that we fostered both in the Discord and outside of it over on Instagram and Threads and all these other places, that information is so accessible. So accessible. I mean, really, look at my Instagram stories. I'm constantly translating information from Russian to English and English to Russian. Sorry, Russian folks. I use auto translate and it probably sucks. But the thing is, I'm trying to show people we are almost exactly identical. I understand our street signs look different. I understand our income levels are different. But guess what? Those income level differences, they're not our fault, you and me, but they are both of our billionaires, our oligarchs, our politicians' fault, which again is another reminder we are in the same situation. We just are stacked against one another in different ways. Oh, be jealous of that group. Hate them. Hate this group. Hate that group. They hate you more, so you should hate them more. Unfortunately, this stuff is just everywhere on social media. I even encountered two of that today. Westerners saying, you know, death to the Russians, yes to the Ukrainians. And I'm like, you're complicit in child murder and slavery. That not even the smallest drop of hyperbole or me amping this, you know, embellishing here. Truly, again, if you choose one side in a war of teenagers slaughtering one another, well, let me just say, we need to put you in their place and pull those teens out. You can go and be the landmine detecting robot, like step on all the ground and find all the, you know, unexploded ammunition, because that's as good as you are to the rest of us. You know, when you're advocating again that we continue to throw young child slaves into a war situation. And by the way, child slaves includes the United States. That is 100% what we do here. We brainwash young people that aren't even 18, turn them into slaves. They sign contracts that are extremely punishing. By the way, same goes for Russia and Ukraine, that these men will wind up in a dark basement. In fact, I just shared one of those today, of many Russian men that refused to go to the front line, literally being thrown into a basement. I think like 9 of them in a basement that would comfortably fit maybe 2 or 3 people. And then they're just crammed in there like sardines for weeks. I don't know, months. I mean, there's some bad reports that come out. I've also seen from Ukrainians on Instagram, them sharing, surprisingly, a guy that I was only following because he was kind of cute. There was no Marxism involved here, honestly. And to see this guy speak out saying, and he was translating, putting this both in Ukrainian, Russian, and English, sharing out, look what they do to our soldiers here in Ukraine. Like, look at them just beating our soldiers, beating guys. Both. He showed videos of actual soldiers being beat, but also showed videos of Ukrainian men being grabbed off of the street, completely manhandled, like you would see in protest situations, just yanking a guy out of his vehicle, bending him over, hands behind the back, pushed up against the vehicle. I really got to remind people, we are slaves, 100%. Every ounce and disillusion of the idea of freedom we have in our heads is completely artificial, and there's no evidence to back any of it up. Try as you might, everything you'll find are just breadcrumbs of lies, deceit, and sadness. Maybe also self-delusion in there. And again, that summarizes a lot of those people who are pushing this war together. Just general liberals and conservatives on the internet. Send more! Send more! Whatever. Anyway, that brings us back to this story, because when Prigozhin turned his troops, so after they were fired upon, apparently, by the Ministry of Defense, they turned their weapons, shot down those aircraft. There are reports that some of those men in the aircraft lived. There are other more accurate reports that there were about, I think, I'm going off of memory here, I want to say about 12 people, probably young men, were killed in Prigozhin's troops turning around. This isn't me saying Prigozhin or the Ministry of Defense are right. I don't want anyone to even come close to that idea. They're both wrong, and so are you if you choose to side with either of these people, these military entities. Friends in Russia are more concerned about PMC Wagner than the actual state military, maybe explicitly for this reason. I know one of my friends, Andrei, has always been very worried because this sort of signifies, or as he's told me before, this signifies sort of unrestrained power, looking at those situations where they're sledgehammering people overseas or in other countries as a form of punishment. They work off the book. So they fired at these guys. They started turning around. Prigozhin starts putting out messages after that point where he's saying, look, the soldiers on the ground, they're all letting us through. We are on our way. We're full speed ahead. We have not hurt anyone on the ground. Kept reiterating that point. Weeks later, it does seem as if this might have been an attempt at getting other military commanders to side with Prigozhin. His claim, by the way, is that he wanted to go to Moscow, and this is a double claim. This is weird. He wanted two of the military commanders. I'm drawing a blank on what's his name. Shojin? I'm sorry, I'm drawing a blank on the head dude's name. But anyway, he wanted him and one of the others to come out and be detained by Wagner troops. And immediately the Russian government's like, we're not going to give them to you. We're not doing this. Do not come to Moscow. We are not. They blew up bridges along the way. The Russian government blew up its own fuel depots along the way. They tore up roads and highways. So immediately there were some Americans being like, well, maybe this is fake. Maybe this is fake. I don't know. Anything could be fake these days. But you're really seeing videos of them actually like destroying their own situation. You don't do scorched earth policy for nothing. That is a last resort. Like, Moscow's actually being sieged by people that are the military's just letting through. So maybe we need to physically impede this movement. Again, blow up the fuel depots, blow up the bridges, tear up the roads. It was pretty intense. Pretty intense watching that in real time. So he gets close to Moscow under this idea that he wants to detain these leaders. But he also says something to the effect of, we want to return the military equipment now. He's like, well, we were going to wait until July 30th when you wanted to reabsorb us, but now we're going to just take it to you here at the end of June. Very, very strange. So he wanted both the heads of the people, but also to hand in all his authority. What gets weirder, and this story is still ongoing, and believe me, I am just giving you the absolute highlights of this. What is weirder is that on the way, Lukashenko of Belarus, the leader of Belarus, contacts Prigozhin as a middleman to do some diplomacy. Apparently, these two have been long friends. Again, he put himself into rooms with all these people a long time ago when they were all seizing their capitalist power after the dissolution of the USSR. Lukashenko offers him a form of asylum in Belarus. Asylum might be a strange word because I guess that's what it is, but it was sort of a, well, it was sort of like an open backroom deal. Come to Belarus, your troops that choose to come to Belarus and join us, that's all fine. You can keep it all, you'll be fine. So they offer them a military encampment that was in iffy shape that the Belarusian military had already made and was not occupied. They said, come on over, bring your troops, you can just live here, because the Russian government had then at that point opened a case. Actually, immediately they opened a case against Prigozhin, a criminal case, because he was leading an armed rebellion against the Russian Federation. So they open this case against him, and that gets really weird because we see the average citizens on the street get arrested for holding up even a sign with no words on it. Like if you take a white piece of paper to certain parts of Russia, I don't know if it's still the same now, but people were getting literally dragged out of crowds for writing nothing on paper. And here you've got a guy like Prigozhin who's actually shooting down Russian aircraft moving into Moscow, and they're saying, oh yeah, you got a criminal case, but also if you just go to Belarus, we'll let you go. It shows you again, the capitalists are all the upper winners of this system. We lose constantly, they win always. Just a good reminder for folks, take that home with you. What else bizarre? So weeks later, turned out that he and his troops never did. He goes to Belarus, but his troops never materialize. And then a few days later, he's back in Russia for talks with Putin at the Kremlin. And since then, this is a little funny, I guess his house was raided, as mansion, not house, but a mansion was raided, which they found all kinds of interesting things, weapons, private helicopter. And I think one of the best ones are tons of photos of him wearing terrible disguises. Now, maybe the disguise would work. Maybe. But he looks like a really bad Sacha Baron Cohen. Sacha Baron Cohen's the one that does Borat, Bruno, Ali G, The Dictator. Sacha Baron Cohen's the guy that does all of those. And he has some really bad photos in there that look like he was trying to try out for the next Borat film or something. It's really bad. Highly recommend you check those photos out. They're probably pretty well circulated at this point, but I'm looking at this article right in front of me from the IMT. Maybe I'll toss in some of this stuff to be a little meaty closer to it, because I like their sign off. Let me see here. It says, we must bring a class-based and anti-war agenda to the workers' collectives and trade unions organizations now. We must protect and develop the independence of our free-thinking student collectives, but in order to fight against the arbitrary authorities and their reactionary alternative, we ultimately need a political organization. Form solidarity groups in your workplaces, discuss current events, join existing political groups raising progressive demands. The activists of our organization are among the first to oppose the war initiated, initiating the formation of the Coalition of Marxist Internationalists, organized numerous campaigns in defense of political prisoners, and particular couriers leader, Kirill, I don't know who that's in reference to there, Kirill Ukranstev, and held a unity congress in May, forming an organization of communist internationalists. It goes on to say, against Putin, against Prigozhin, peace to the workers' communities, war on the palaces. If we don't, no one will. And that is just a great reminder. That article comes from Marxist.org, Marxist.com, pardon me. Go to Marxist.com to check that one out. Again, it's linked in our article here, KyleCommunist.com. You can find it very easily. Is there anything else I need to add to that? I think I'm covering that decently. It's a huge one, and I could devote entire multi-podcast series just to breaking down what happened with Prigozhin in that situation. I only want to give you the highlights today. Again, there's another article you really should check out called Russia Begins Efforts to Seize Full Control of Wagner Abroad. This one, who released this one? This was a stranger source that a Russian friend, Andre, sent me, but it's AA.com, and it went into some interesting detail where the Russian government was sending jets out to all these different groups, like Mali. They were going to, I think they sent some Central African Republic. They're reaching out to everyone that previously had Wagner efforts there. Again, Wagner being a private military company, Russia was leasing them out for private security. They were leasing them out to protect oil fields and stuff like that. A lot of assets and interests overseas. So again, Russia started making calls. They started sending diplomats, trying to make sure that the Wagner soldiers abroad were loyal to Putin and the Russian government, not to any splinter cells. Here, let me read this one. This is an interesting ending to this article. It says, it was reported that Prigozhin accepted Belarusian President Alexander Lukashenko's proposal to de-escalate tensions in Russia. Prigozhin also announced that they would turn their convoys back and return to the field camps according to plan. The Kremlin said the criminal case against Prigozhin would be closed and announced that the rebel leader would go to Belarus. It says, quote, today you have the opportunity to continue serving Russia or to return to your family and friends by concluding a contract with the Ministry of Defense or other law enforcement agencies. If you want, you can go to Belarus, said Putin on June 26th in a live televised broadcast. So basically, again, that last part was an address to the soldiers that had chosen to follow Prigozhin, basically saying, look, we're not going to turn against you, the soldiers. You were following orders. If you want to go to Belarus, go. If you want to join our military or law enforcement, you can. But you have to conclude what you're doing now. And that's it. Someone in Twitch chat, reminder that we do these live. Max says they have a lover's tiff. Actually, there was some commentary that actually a lot of this was about Putin's trust being broken. That was a problem at play. That Prigozhin was someone who had worked himself into that inner circle, was very trusted by Putin to carry out and complete tasks. And here he turned against Putin's organs of government. So anyway, that's a something rather. Well, like I said, we'll talk about that many more times in the future, I'm sure. Let's move on to this other one. Former U.S. President Donald Trump, who is running in the 2024 U.S. presidential election, plans to ban communists, Marxists, and socialists from entering the U.S. using federal law. He says, I will order my government to deny all communists and all Marxists. Maybe I can play this clip. Give me two.
I will entry to all communists and all Marxists. Today, I'm announcing a new plan to protect the integrity of our immigration system. Federal law prohibits the entry of communists and totalitarians into the United States.
But what about the fact that we are one? Totalitarian, that is. Already.
The question is, what do we do with the ones that are already here that grew up in
it? Yeah, what about Kyle?
I think we have to pass a new law for them.
Are you going to shoot me? We're going to
keep foreign Christian-hating communists, Marxists, and socialists out of America. We're keeping them out of America.
Keeping them out. Okay, so we're going to keep them out, but we also need a new law to punish the people here. I might have said that a little bit wrong the first time through, but it is true that we have laws already in the United States that suppress communist activities. I think an interesting one I may have talked about a few episodes ago was how CPUSA was denied an appearance at Pride over the summer, citing a law. Yes, I did. I really ranted about this last time. There was a law cited that said the U.S. government could fine and detain the people that the communists that were getting involved with that sort of stuff. It was an old law in the books, but the Pride organization cites it as to say, like, well, we can't have you table here. Very, very interesting. And then you hear Trump say that. It's going to get really rough for our communist-aligned people in the United States. Violence is absolutely going to be the only answer that is applicable. They absolutely see it that way, so it's time our comrades do too. This is no longer, it's not been a game, but for many people online, it still is a game, and this is a great reminder that they need to get very serious about it very quickly. For any comrades out there who might be in the stage where you're not reading theory, this is the time you need to do so. The real reason is because until you read theory, you will appear like an idiot to actual communists doing the reading. I don't mean this to insult you. The only person that could insult you is actually yourself by, again, not doing the reading and talking and sounding a fool. Believe me, I was this idiot even so far as 2 or 3 or 4 years ago. I've been very lucky that I have always had a good grasp of what socialism and communism has meant at its core. So I've always been speaking sort of in the right vein, but it wasn't until actually doing the real reading, the real theory, that you know you're in the right vein. It must come down to us studying. We cannot be adventurous and come up with random ideas on the fly. And I want to stress this to any younger or newer comrades out there that might be struggling with that, is you may have really great ideas. Write them down in some secure journal and then check your ideas later up against actual Leninist ideas. Again, going and looking, reading Engels, reading Lenin, your ideas are either going to align and they're going to work in the real world, or they're going to unalign and they're not going to work in the real world. And there's probably an explanation for why. Your ideas have already probably been tried and they've already probably failed. No offense, I don't mean that to sound cruel. I've been in those positions. Everyone, it's sort of a growing phase of being a communist. It happens. It happens to everyone. But again, nothing is an excuse for not doing the reading, because it is in reading form, like actual text. It's in audio form. And there's a ton of YouTubers out there like Second Thought that bring it into a visual form. Especially, and this is me calling out members of our just community at large. This isn't me. I'm not hassling you as bad as your parents, but this might sound like your parents for a second. If you got 5 minutes to be on a Discord call, if you got 5 minutes to be playing a video game, if you got 5 minutes to turn on Netflix, you have 5 minutes to do your reading, right? It's the same thing. It's tired excuses. And I'm only ragging on some people that are out there, because I always get that. For the people that are doing your reading, great work. Keep it up. Here's the other bow I'll throw everyone. We're now doing the book club twice a week. Mondays, 9 p.m. Eastern time. Thursdays, 9 p.m. Eastern time. I have made this joke before, but it's funny. Sometimes trolls will join the Discord server and go, "What is this random Kyle guy preaching you?" And I love it, because the community has now picked up this ongoing joke where they turn them like, "What are you talking about? We only read Marx, Engels, and Lenin here." Okay, not only. We're actually going to read Einstein this week. Why socialism? We have added extra groups in there, Che and others. But this idea, this isn't Kyle's happy hour where I tell you bullshit fantasy stories that I made up last night before I fell asleep. No, you have enough delusions to do that on your own. We all do. We are here to listen to real revolutionary theorists who've actually completed successful revolutions. We are here to learn from their successes and their failures. So again, I just want to bring that all back around and say to everyone, come out. Even if you can't attend, because I know 9 p.m. Eastern time is late overseas. We made this decision to do it at 9 because our audience is English speaking as its number one language. And as it turns out, well, also, since I'm an American, we're going to target the English-speaking Americans that need to hear this stuff. I want to make it clear, everyone else is welcome to read these books at their own time. You are welcome to go to kylecommunist.com. There's a book club link right there on the homepage. It has the previous readings we've done. It has our two current ones for the week. You do not need to be in the voice call with us to do the reading. You can do it any time later that you would like. It is totally open to you. Now, as for our last story, which is a really interesting one, I'm only going to give you some cliff notes that come to my mind from it. This one, by the way, is not under the news section when you go to look at the newsletter. This one's longer, and I've actually stuck it in the articles and books. It's titled "The Anti-Marxist Nature of Queer Antagonistic Revisionism" by the Red Phoenix. That title was an interesting one. "The Anti-Marxist Nature of Queer Antagonistic Revisionism." What does that even mean? The first 10 seconds that I saw the title, I went, uh-oh, this is going to be another Marxist-Leninist piece explaining how the LGBT movement is a cancer on communism, distracting from the class movement because queer people want to be treated like humans. They're not okay with us treating them like subhumans, yada, yada, yada. That, we're gonna talk about some of these problems and then we'll just debunk this title in a sec. That last part is the queer antagonistic revisionism. Understanding that homophobia, sexism, racism, anti-Semitism, ableism, we go on and on and on. I think you get where I'm going with this, that all of those are tools of the bourgeoisie to divide the working class. Don't trust your neighbor. They're black. They're a criminal. Don't trust your gay neighbor. They're a pedophile. Don't trust the Jew. They're a secret banker taking over the world. Bullshit. It's all absolute bullshit made to keep us, the slaves, fighting one another instead of setting fire to the palaces. The second you buy into that horse shit, you are horse shit. Just to put it in that way. The moment you decide to pick that shit up off the ground, it's all over your hands. You might as well just jump in it and bathe in it. I see our faulty comrades. They aren't real comrades until they fix this in themselves, because again, they're covered in shit. They choose this antagonistic revisionism. Anti-Marxist nature of queer antagonistic revisionism. It means anti-Marxist, they are working against the materialist views, historical materialism. They're looking at history dialectically and coming to a complete false idea that does not match modern science. Instead, again, anti-Marxist, they abandon science along the way in favor of conservative traditionalism. Ugh, that's fake. That doesn't even exist. Traditional. What is traditional? Tradition, you wake up and take a shit every morning. That's as good. You know, what is a tradition? A tradition is something that's repeated for no necessary reason other than the unification of people under a single idea. Racism, homophobia, etc. All of those are great traditions we honor here in the United States, right? Traditions aren't good. Traditions, I think, are very unhealthy as a whole. We can look at some things as good parts of traditions, but let's be honest. The only way traditions are good is if you're in bizarro world and you're going backwards in time. Otherwise, the rest of us are moving forward. Tomorrow's the day after today. So I plan on being better tomorrow than I was today. I plan on being more open-minded tomorrow than I was today. And if for any reason I decide tomorrow I'm going to become more regressive than I was today, something went wrong. Arrested development, meaning failure to actually mature and become something new. Let's keep going into why this is so, so important. Again, this is one of the few Marxist-Leninist groups speaking out like this. Unfortunately, on the internet, anytime you look up LGBT rights in relation to communism, most of the time, the only people speaking in favor of it are those that are aligned with Trotsky. Trotskyists. You know me, plenty of people in our server are Trotskyists, and we love that, especially because, again, there's some of the few comrades actually doing the reading and applying it to the modern day. This is a change in that and an exciting one. As a gay comrade, when faced with the option of becoming a Marxist-Leninist, it is extraordinarily unappealing, because those who clamor about Marxism-Leninism the loudest on the internet typically wind up having these very conservative homophobic views. And that defeats Marxism in itself. To bear on those bourgeois intra-class divisionist tactics, today they're endorsing homophobia, tomorrow they might be endorsing racism. The next day it might be anti-Semitism, right? What we're seeing is, and I know people don't like this phrase, but going back to anti-Marxist nature of queer antagonistic revisionism, sort of red fascism. I know that's not a popular phrase because people that don't understand it they use it incorrectly. But again, when we have homophobia growing within the ranks, and this article says so much, this article actually verbatim says, maybe I could find this, I've highlighted in here, so maybe I'll look for it for you. But there is a line in here that goes so far as saying, if you choose to marginalize these people, claim that they are a distraction from the socialist movement. So if you choose to marginalize LGBT people and claim that they're a distraction from the socialist movement, you are exactly doing the same thing that fascists did. Remembering that fascists, specifically in Germany, Nazi Germany, claimed to be socialist but pushed regressive values. Well, guess what you're doing if you're someone that's in the communist movement, distracting from actual class war by instead fighting a culture war. Well, we know which side of the battle lines you're on, and it's not the communist side. You might want to trade in your hammer and sickles for a swastika there, bud. There is no question on this subject, by the way. This is either science or denial of science. It is either you're a Marxist or you're an anti-Marxist because your refusal to understand it. And by the way, when I say you, I'm not yelling at you, my dear listener, who's here actually engaging in this, but you, you plural on the internet, who are so vulgar and volatile about this stuff. I should realize what I'm saying. I'm trying to give it some punch, but I don't want to punch any of you. Though there are, again, a lot of them that need a good punching. moving on. Oh, actually, here it is. It says, they mirror the fascist right's strategy of eliminating the class struggle in favor of a culture struggle, and they do this in communist colors, which makes their actions even more malevolent to the development of the working class. Ooh. Remember how I said red fascism? You are wearing the communist colors while you eliminate the class struggle in favor of a culture struggle. Remembering we're fighting a culture war in the United States right now. There's not much that separates us as workers from one another. We're all poor. We're all without health care. We're all struggling. There are some people, specifically the white community, that is a stage ahead. They are they've been the privileged group here in the United States. And I don't want this to be misconstrued as me saying that their lives are radically getting to be like the rest of us. But they are starting to feel the squeeze, and that is why they are so aggressively attached to the culture war. For those folks, again, in the United States, they're transphobic, racist, et cetera, et cetera. They are choosing culture war. That is to say, well, we don't like your kind here. I like the oppressive bourgeoisie that makes sure my family can't eat an accurate, healthy, you know, diet each week. I love the people that charge us so much money for gas and electricity. I will literally die in defense of my rich. Okay, well, then do it. Then do it, please. Go. The rest of us are trying to actually feed children so they're not growing up malnourished, only to wind up at the age of 17 being recruited by probably a pedophile to join the army. Oh, by the way, where's that coming from? I didn't include that story, but recently a U.S. Marine was caught having purchased a 13-year-old autistic sex slave in the United States, brought them onto the military base, raped them multiple times. Many COs knew about it. They literally had to sign the kid in. Pedophiles raping children. Our military, our politicians, and honestly, following that account, Reich Watch over on Instagram, I think the science, the statistics is actually going to get really scary, folks. I think what really we're seeing is that all homophobes, all transphobes have raped a child or they watch it. I know those might be fighting words to some people, and I would slap you upside the head and ask, why would those be fighting words if you're looking at actual headlines that are verifiable and you're saying like, oh, it doesn't matter to me. That would be weird. And I would question your mental sanity. But I, on the other hand, would like to, again, just continue pointing out, this is why we need to be so organized. We are living in a very bizarro world where our religious leaders, our cultural leaders, all of these people, and this means politicians, it means capitalists like Elon Musk, I mean, again, culture leaders, all of these people are so twisted, gang. I'm sure so many of the people listening to this, I'm betting you've all felt crazy sometime in your life because I, for years, felt like I was the villain. I felt like I must be crazy. You just let the situation mature and my God, you realize you're not. They actually are happy and promoting all this stuff. I don't know if people saw Elon Musk actually proposing a, as he quoted, literal dick measuring contest with old Zuckerberg over there.
Sorry, I had to help the dog.
Doggo needed to get in the chair there, so I had to give him a lift, push his butt up there. Hi, Louie. Anyway, I might be tangenting a little bit, but this is still all exactly related to this article. This isn't a tangent. I've gotten a little bit far, but it's not a tangent. Because our comrades out there, the ones that are still homophobic, the ones that are still transphobic, they are siding with the bourgeoisie when they express their phobia. They are Elon Musk. They are Ted Cruz. They are Donald Trump. They are Joe Biden. They are DeSantis. They are not us. They are not comrades. They are enemies of the people, as Lenin says. Leaders of the labor movement who, instead of pressing for the unity of the working class, instead subvert our unity for culture war, which is like the Nazi, which means that our, quote, comrades are fascist types. Whoopsies. Uh-oh. Surprise. There's a great Lenin quote in here, too. Let me see if I, did I get this one, too? I want to read you one more, so just pardon me an extra second. By the way, we're doing all this live on Twitch, so if people are interested in the future, you're welcome to come on out. twitch.tv/KyleCommunist. I was doing it over on YouTube for a while, but I decided to move it back here to Twitch. It's more my home. It's where I'm familiar. Here we go. Lenin wrote, "The ideological struggle waged by revolutionary Marxism against revisionism is but the prelude to a great revolutionary battle of the proletariat." And in, end quote. And in wake of recent attacks on the LGBT plus communities, especially transgender and gender nonconforming comrades, waged by the bourgeoisie and reactionary elements within the communist movement, it has become evident that Marxist-Leninists must again engage in the struggle against a new, more contemporary form of revisionism. Going on to say it's the task of this article to do that. That wasn't the biggest Lenin quote I was looking for. Is there the other one? Here's a Hoxha quote for people. It says, "The Marxist-Leninists are not conservative and fanatical as the revisionists and the bourgeois charge. On the contrary, they are the most progressive people, resolute fighters against everything outdated and backward. They stand firmly on the positions of the new and fight with all of their might for its victory." Wow. I think there is still one more Lenin quote in here that's a beefy one. I'm just going to do another look to see if I can find it really quickly. I'm going to give you something to do, too. This is very good to read. I'm just skimming through so many segments. It's broken up into three sections. It goes into what is queer antagonistic revisionism, the social phenomenon of gender. Now, some critiques of this article. It does not go far enough in actually explaining the crimes within the Soviet Union. And in fact, it really brushes them off very, very aggressively. If you've listened to this podcast long enough or you're part of the community, you'll know I'm not someone who looks favorably upon Stalin. And there's a really good reason why. When Harry White, a communist who was, I believe he was staying in the USSR at the time, but he was from Great Britain. I think this is mentioned in the article, too. He writes a letter to Stalin, very well articulating so many points, saying, "Can homosexuals be good communists? Your most recent decree, your article, probably 121 in 1933, 1934, is saying that no, like, communists cannot be good member, or I'm sorry, queers, homosexuals, not lesbians, by the way, but can homosexual men be good communists? We dedicate our lives to it. This is our emancipation. Here's how we've worked, da 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 da." To which Stalin simply writes, "Archive this. He is an idiot and a degenerate." Idiot and degenerate were the words that Stalin chose to use on a good comrade who had been loyal for decades, questioning why LGBT people, specifically homosexuals, why they were being rounded up in bulk. Why did that happen? Well, as best as having read both Russian sources and English sources that are critical on the matter, both the USSR and Nazi Germany got this idea in their heads at the exact same time. In fact, I think it's Nazi ideas that permeated into the USSR. I literally think it actually kind of drifted eastward. The Nazi type started saying, you know, the homosexuals are pedophiles. They're after our children. They make a weak man, blah, blah, blah. They're bringing in this dirty socialism, communism. But where it materialized in the USSR is, these dirty homosexuals are making anti-Soviet enclaves. They're creating these salons that are promoting anti-Soviet ideas. They are the bastion of fascism. Ew. You following me? Straight guys on the left saying, you know, bleh, gays. Straight guys on the right saying, bleh, gays. And they're using the same excuse. We hate them because they're like those guys. We hate them because they're like those guys. Let's be honest. You were both extremely raging homophobic people. I mean, Stalin, again, comes from a seminary beaten by priests. He was not a well-adjusted person, right? I mean, getting beaten your childhood by priests is not a path to any kind of adult success in a sound way. Instead, I think what it did was really permeate his views and lead to, again, a counter-revolution under Stalin's regime. And this article does kind of jack shit to hold their feet to the fire on it. They sort of just say, well, the proletarians have made mistakes in the past in their treatment of LGBT peoples. Well, the proletarians were arrested, and they weren't the ones carrying out orders at that time in the USSR in the mid to late 30s, 40s window. I mean, you know, when these things are getting carried out, this was by a bunch of yes men that hadn't yet to be purged. Some of them were purged after that. So that's something. The article does conclude commenting how great Cuba has become, that they've overcome their setbacks and they move forward. So I think this article did a little well in not to drive the point home, not to offend Stalin lovers, because really that's who this article is written for. For anyone that is outside of that camp of homophobic regressive ideology, you probably know that there's mistakes of the past, and you're also probably a critical enough thinker to know that just because someone made mistakes in the past doesn't mean there's not, you know, valuable ideas in what they're doing. We as communists do not throw the baby out with the bathwater approach. That is a very myopic, simple-minded approach used by our opposition. We don't do that. Again, unless you're actually coming out and saying, Kyle, I am the opposition. I throw the baby out with the bathwater all the time. I only like it when my communists are straight, white, and whatever. Okay. Okay, Mr. Aryan. Well, I'm going to need you never to come back again. Stop listening to the show. Yeah, that's it. I'm leaving on that. How about that? Is that good for everyone out there? There is a lot more information in this article. I'll leave you on some housekeeping notes. Say, go check this out. It is at kylecommunist.com. It's right off the top. I covered only three of the news stories that were in here. Big note that this is only now coming out once a week, so these are going to be a bit meatier. You're going to need to divvy them up for your own use throughout the week. Sections that we didn't touch on. There is some cool art included. There is some cool music included. There is great information about other Soviet history in here. There's information about the French protests, Palestinian protests. Whoo! I mean, things are really popping off around the world. And I'll just leave comrades saying, you know, we are all going to experience this revolution, whether we are ready or not. Us being ready is what will define our success or not. So join the book club, our short form book club on Thursdays. We'll be reading Why Socialism by Albert Einstein. And that's this Thursday, July 13th at 9 p.m. Eastern. Pardon me, I'm going to click on this. Oh, maybe I'm not. I thought it was going to make me some noise, but strange enough. Yeah, my browser gets weird when I want to open these videos direct. How long is it? I think it's like 40 minutes without going through all the rigmarole and make noise at you. I think that one's about 30 minutes, 40 minutes of a read. Then we're picking up on Monday. I need to adjust the date on this. This will be July 17th at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. We'll be reading Chapter 2 of Socialism, Utopian and Scientific by Friedrich Engels. If you have not already read the introduction and Chapter 1, please do so. Again, this is not updated to reflect the new date, but you can always just jump in. I'll give you a tip about the website. That these book club sections sync across the site. They're sort of like a website block that always keeps itself up to date. So just know that the Friedrich Engels one will often be the one you see trailing behind just a little bit. It's got the video there. It's got all the information. So you can click on it, join in. Absolutely beautiful. Thank you, Mac, for the reminder about talking about book club today. It's a good reminder again. Say everyone come out to Twitch, twitch.tv/KyleCommunist. The big push I would give you all is to check me out on Threads. Yeah, I am loving Threads. I know Meta hates me. They continuously punish my Instagram account. Thanks to everyone that chooses to share my post to your stories. I think that's the best way to do it. But I like Threads. I hate Twitter. I've been an OG Twitter since back in 2008. But Elon Musk has managed to destroy it so badly that I don't want anything to do with it and haven't been on there for the last year. So enjoy my time on Threads as I'm posting all the time. I am posting all kinds of stuff, and I think you'll have fun. This episode will go up on YouTube. It will be on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, and some others. If you need it on another podcast player where we're not, you feel free to just let me know. I think is it for the week. We're going to do these probably on Tuesdays as best I can here on out in the summer. That is the goal for these days, and that is all. Comrades, be very safe. Come check us out. Discord again, discord.gg/KyleCommunist. All these links are in the bio, and I'll talk to you next week. Until then, stay safe,